It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Thursday, March 3rd. I'm Patricia Naft. A coalition in Montrose is working to create a center that provides physical, mental, and dental services under the same roof. KBNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
The Community Dental Clinic is collaborating with the Center for Mental Health and the Delta Montrose Technical College on the project. Melanie Hall, the executive director of the dental clinic, says the new center will be called PIC Place, which stands for Partners in Integrated Care.
Community Dental Clinic is looking to expand in the next year to an integrated delivery model where we will offer not just dental services, but also primary care and behavioral health services.
The dental clinic serves about 4,000 patients a year, and about 75% of those individuals are on Medicaid. She says the nonprofit just purchased a nearly 10,000-square-foot facility that sits on the north end of Montrose. Hall says the goal of the new facility will be to provide affordable health care to low-income, underinsured, and uninsured populations.
And the beauty of it is it's person-centered care. So you have a whole team of providers across disciplines that are looking at you as a total person.
The project has an estimated price tag of $2.1 million. Hall says partners in the venture have put up funding, but they are also going after grants and seeking outside support. She hopes to see the center open by next spring. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
More and more residents are visiting the Norwood Public Library, and now the district is ready to branch out. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Carrie Andrew is the director for the Norwood Library District. She started about 5 years ago, and since then, they've seen a lot of growth. With programs and events, they've been able to increase usage dramatically.
We saw a huge rise in 2012 when the economy was really bad and gas was super expensive. We saw our summer reading program hit an all-time high, and then we continue to see growth every year overall.
She says they've seen increases in internet usage, Wi-Fi logins, and ebook checkouts. While those have been the biggest gains, they've also seen more books checked out, more people walking through the doors. A survey of nearby residents showed many of them wanted more public space at the library, but unfortunately, that's a no-go.
The original library was started in 1939, and it was a donated cabin, and I think it was an original homestead cabin. And since then, we have expanded and remodeled, but we've now reached the extent of what we can do on this property.
They simply can't grow in the building anymore. A few years ago, when property values were depressed, they decided to purchase 12 acres. Andrew knows it's more than they need or could even use, but the library board recently announced plans for some of that space. They're going to partner with community organizations and groups to create community spaces. It'll allow for art programs, education, and meeting rooms. Right now, it's a general plan, but they hope to have specifics soon. Aside from grant funding, they will likely request funding help from the voters this November. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The Democratic caucus in Colorado on Tuesday saw a record turnout. It's reported nearly 122,000 Coloradans caucused for the party's two presidential candidates. The turnout broke the 2008 record by 2,000 people. Colorado's Republican Party canceled their traditional presidential preference poll at the precinct caucuses. However, as NPR reports, nationally, the GOP saw record turnout in 11 Super Tuesday states, with an 81% increase compared to 4 years ago. In contrast, the Democrats saw about a 31% decrease compared to 2008. Voters in 11 states went to the polls or caucused on Super Tuesday. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders won Colorado's Democratic caucuses. He also grabbed victories in Oklahoma, Minnesota, and his home state. Benta Berkland attended a Democratic caucus in Jefferson County, one of the state's swing districts just west of Denver.
More than 2,000 people came to Creighton Middle School in Lakewood to caucus last night. Parking was tight, and the resulting traffic jam got the evening off to a later start. That was okay for Dave Risser. The electrician says he will back the eventual Democratic presidential nominee, whoever it is.
I like Hillary and I like Bernie, but I like Bernie better. He doesn't take the money. He's worried about the middle guy than the low guy. And he wants more equality. He wants money out of politics. When you take money from the people that you say you don't want to take money from, it hurts you.
Voters from 34 different precincts caucus at this middle school, and Bernie Sanders won all but a handful, many by 20-point margins, while others were closer.
Bernie Sanders, 47. Secretary Clinton, 36. Woo! Uncommitted, 1. No. I release you. Go home.
That was the vote total from one of the final precincts to report results. That's because the vote was too close to call with nearly a dozen people undecided. They were lobbied by Clinton and Sanders supporters for about an hour. 25-year-old Jordan Grody was one of those undecided. She says she was leaning towards backing Bernie, but needed some convincing before she cast her final vote.
I just want to see whoever's going to make the most change. Bernie's kind of the underdog, and, you know, being a millennial, we always get a bad rap for what we do, and he's pulling for us.
Some Hillary Clinton supporters were surprised that she didn't do better, but Tracy Mahoney, a community college teacher, says it was similar to her experience caucusing for Clinton in 2008 against Barack Obama. She believes younger voters may not have accurate information about Clinton.
Hillary's gotten some unfair treatment since she's been in the media spotlight for over 30 years now. And these kids who are voting for Bernie grew up listening to horror stories about her that a lot of us just know aren't true.
For Clinton backer John Torres, it's her background that he thinks makes her the most qualified.
I think it's great that there's two upstanding candidates for the Democratic Party, you know, instead of what's going on in the Republican side. So, you know, it feels good to be a Democrat. The reason why I choose Hillary, for me and my family, it's just more experience.
Almost everyone interviewed said they would back either candidate. Estella Algesova was an exception.
I think he's living in a dream world and he's getting our kids all excited about things that he's going to want to do, and he's not going to be able to do it. Free education, free this, free that. You can't do that. We don't have the money for it.
For others, such as Jonathan Fleck, Clinton's principles aren't as strong, and that's why he's advocating for Sanders.
I would not envision Bernie Sanders voting for an unbudgeted trillion-dollar immoral war that costs tens of thousands of U.S. lives. And that's probably one of my biggest issues with Hillary. So while other people say she's a warrior, she knows how to compromise, to me, those are horrible attributes.
Fleck also believes the office of president has largely become symbolic.
And Donald Trump running for president signifies that it's largely symbolic. So if it's going to be symbolic, let's vote for the ideas.
And while Sanders picked up a large win in Colorado, Clinton still racked up the most delegates on Super Tuesday, taking 7 states. On the GOP side, Colorado Republicans did not take a preference poll for the presidential race. I'm Benta Berkland in Lakewood.
Nearly 30 Colorado elected leaders are signing on to a letter to the Bureau of Land Management advocating for a strong rule against methane leaks on federal lands. Inside Energy's Dan Boyce has more.
The BLM released a draft rule in January limiting methane leaks for oil and gas development on federal and Indian land. La Plata County Commissioner Gwen Lackel is one of the leaders signing the letter in support of the draft. She says not only is limiting leaks important for limiting greenhouse gas emissions, but methane is the main component of natural gas, which producers are trying to sell.
Methane that doesn't escape from oil and gas facilities is money in the bank.
Though many industry representatives still label these draft guidelines overly burdensome and unnecessary. This all ahead of a public hearing on the proposal Tuesday in Lakewood, Colorado. For Inside Energy, I'm Dan Boyce.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.